Welcome to the Fishy Picky Podcast.
I'm Adeline.
And I'm Diana.
And today we're going to be talking about COVID-19 and our experience with this pandemic. So before we start this episode, make sure you've listened to our first episode where we sort of introduced ourselves and talked about why we created this podcast. So if you want to get to know us better, listen to the first episode.
And what we forgot to talk about in our first episode was the story behind our podcast name. So our podcast name is Fishy Piggy because Adeline's Chinese name starts with Yu, and in Chinese it also sounds like fish. And my Chinese name starts with Zhu, which also sounds like pig. So that's why we called ourselves Fishy Piggy.
Okay, so let's start off with talking about how the virus started and how it got to the U.S.
From what we know so far, it originated probably in a bat somewhere in China, and it transferred to humans from like a wet market, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Like a seafood market or something like that.
Yeah, in Wuhan, China.
Mm-hmm.
So it spread throughout China, and then it spread to the rest of the world. Some countries are obviously handling it much better than other countries. We want to just briefly go over kind of what happened in the early days of the pandemic. Well, the early months of the pandemic in the U.S. Months now.
Yeah, so the first case was on January 21st. And I remember, like, when it was first announced, we all, like, sort of were really surprised that it came to the U.S. because we just always thought, oh, we feel bad for China, or like it'll just stay there.
Yeah. It was actually so weird because I remember first hearing about the virus to begin with when I was on vacation in Italy during winter break. And my dad was like, oh, apparently there's like this new flu going around in China. It seems kind of serious. And I was like, oh, that sucks. But I don't think it's ever going to reach us. So I just hope my family's safe and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
How ironic, though.
Yeah. So then, I guess it just stayed in the U.S. for a couple of months, and until, like, I think March 13th was the last day of school, and, like, the states pretty much started closing then.
Yeah. We were one of the first states to close, I think.
Oh, really?
Actually, wait, no, the first state should have been, like, the West Coast, because they got it first. But then, I think we were also relatively early as well. It's so long ago.
Yeah, I, like, don't, all the stuff that happened back then, it feels like it feels like a fever dream to me for some reason.
A decade ago, oh my god. Also, our governor closed after the first couple of cases when there started to be more community spread than I think what they expected. How many cases did we have when we closed? I think it was like 5-ish. I think that was when we closed. I guess we were still one of the luckier ones.
So, like, I remember near the beginning, we were, like, trying to save, or, like, the U.S. in general was trying to save masks for, like, medical workers. So I think at first they were like, don't wear masks.
Yeah, that's what,
or, like,
the
public
said.
Shouldn't wear masks. So then,
which was like really weird, but okay. Yeah.
So then there was that, and then people also started protesting all the restrictions after they eventually started having restrictions.
Yeah, and there were also a lot of people who were just denying the existence of, I mean, there still are a lot of people denying the existence of this virus, including the president.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Saying a lot of things like it'll go away in the summer, which obviously didn't. And saying how if we just stopped testing, then we would have less cases. Wow.
Yeah, and like, where's the logic in that? So then there were some states like Florida, they like started opening. And then they started having more cases, like where they expect, and then they just closed again.
So I heard in the University of Alabama, I believe, after opening for 1 week, there were 1,000 students who ended up with the virus, which is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
And that just shows, like, if you open kind of early, things like that happen.
So now Maryland is sort of reopening. I don't even know what the phases situation is, but we still have cases around here, like it's still actively going on.
I think that the governor the other day announced that schools were safe to reopen, and I remember seeing it on an Instagram post, and like all of the comments were like, I'm not going back to school, you can't make me.
And our school district announced that our whole first semester was going to be online, and after the governor announced it, I think they, like, published, like, an open letter or something to say, like, why are you announcing so late? And, like, this makes no sense.
As of us recording, it's right now, it's what day is it? August 30th, and we're going back to school tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And he literally, I think I saw this like maybe 2 days ago or something, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, me too.
It's also kind of crazy to compare what's going on in our state to other places. Like, I know, for example, in Xinjiang, I think they found a new couple of cases. And it was like from a more deadly strain from, I forgot where it originated from, but it showed up in Xinjiang. Like, I know that they had like one or two cases or something, and then they just completely shut down. Like, I know that since they had already reopened from the first wave of cases, so a lot of my family members were on vacation, and I had like some family members or like some friends there too. They were on vacation out of their city, I guess. When they were told that it's like locking down, they were kind of just stuck in the middle of nowhere because Xinjiang is a very big place, and if things just shut off, you can't go back anywhere, and it's kind of crazy. But I don't know, I think that they're doing a much better job of taking this seriously and understanding that, like, you know, you can die from this, and I think that if we can prevent some deaths, that would be very nice.
Yeah, and I think, like, also in Australia, they recently, or like 2 weeks ago, they had like 5 new cases, and they were all like from one family, but then they shut down the city that they were in, and then all of Australia, they also shut down like sort of in phase 3, but the city shut down in phase 2.
Yeah,
so like they're taking it so much more seriously. Like, if they have like only a couple of new cases, they would take drastic measures to deal with it.
Yeah, I feel like if we lived in a place that was much more strict and much more drastic, I would feel so much more safe.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Yeah, but that would also be because we're in a more fortunate financial situation, and honestly, that is a whole nother discussion that would really just point out a lot of things in society, but we will not go into that discussion today.
So next, we're gonna sort of discuss how school was affected by pandemic.
Yes, since we are most qualified to talk about that.
Okay, so like we sort of talked about before, on like March 13th or something, it's like the last day of school, and they like closed it for I think until April. So it was around 2 weeks. I remember at the beginning everyone thought, oh, we'll just be off school for only 2 weeks and we have to go back. And then
yeah, it was like a nice early spring break, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can have 2 weeks to study for my APs, man.
So then they closed for, like, I'm pretty sure until the end of April, if I remember correctly, but I probably, honestly, probably don't.
Yeah, they, like, kept extending it in increments, mm-hmm. and then it finally went to the end of the school year.
Yeah.
And then they announced that we were going to have online school, and it was quite chaotic. I guess we were lucky that we were high school students and all of our teachers use technology, and we're pretty lucky that most of our classmates all have computers and internet connection, which
definitely.
I think something million students in the US don't have. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah, so near the beginning of like the shutdown, school wasn't really like the main, I guess we sort of thought about what would happen with school, but it was sort of put on hold for like an indefinite amount of time because we all thought, oh, we would be going back soon.
Yeah. I also thought that like even if we weren't going to go back, there was no way that they could continue the rest of the school year because like...
Right, yeah.
What about the kids who couldn't have access to like computers or Wi-Fi or something like that? And mm-hmm. are we just going to leave them behind or something because it's not their fault?
Yeah. So then after a while, when it was, like, determined that we weren't going to be going back, we sort of had online school, right? But it wasn't really, like, school.
Yeah, we didn't really learn much, but I also guess that, like, for most of our classes, we had pretty much finished learning everything anyways.
Yeah, true.
Well, at least learning the stuff that we needed to learn. It's, like, again, because we're lucky that, well, we're all in accelerated classes, so up to that point, we just only learned the stuff that we required for our grade to learn, and then anything after that point was pretty much just extra stuff. So we were mm-hmm. lucky in that sense, but I think a lot of students really were not able to learn to their full capacity.
Mm-hmm. Only a couple of our classes had, like, actual Zoom calls and, like, scheduled ones, like, every week or, like, 2 days a week. And then a lot of them were also optional. So there are definitely people that just ghosted school or, like, maybe even forgot about it.
Or maybe they had some other issue going on at home and they couldn't go, well, attend school, with quotation marks.
Or their family environment or electronics situation didn't permit them to be able to go.
And there was no one, and there was no one who was, like, literally there being like, you need to attend, why aren't you here? No one was holding anyone accountable or really helping anyone be able to have access to school if they didn't have that.
Yeah, definitely.
We basically didn't learn anything, I guess, educational, but I think that through this experience, we're lucky that our teachers still wanted us to learn something, to learn some life experiences, I guess. So we still had a lot of projects that we did, which I think that although I didn't learn anything, like, educational, like, I didn't, like, I guess we didn't learn anything, like, that could necessarily be, like, tested on in a traditional sense, but we learned how to communicate a lot better with each other and cooperate, even in a kind of more difficult situation. So we learned how to overcome that. Why don't we explain the group projects that we did during this time?
So as we mentioned before, we're sort of in like an accelerated program in high school that's sort of focused on STEM. So our teachers in those classes sort of just decided to combine them and like make a huge project.
It also meant that we had less required Zoom calls. So the first project that we had, it was called the Client Project. Basically what we were supposed to do is that we were split into groups and each group would have a client that we were supposed to create a product based off of what the client wanted. And these clients were pretty much just like our teachers, like our other teachers and like local people in our area or local businesses in our area who are like kind of wanted something made relating to technology so that way we could try to accomplish what they wanted done. Since generally the client project is done with meetings in person with the client, we couldn't do that. So we're meeting, well, quote-unquote meeting through video calls and emailing your clients. And what it really challenged us to do this time was to try to maintain contact with a client even though we were all unable to meet in person. And like, I guess this would be reflective of a real world situation where sometimes you can't really meet with your client in person. So I guess that we were able to learn some skills that we could apply to maybe in the future.
Yeah, and we also couldn't meet with our group in person, so we had to schedule calls, and, like, sometimes communication was pretty difficult.
Or completely non-existent.
So for this project, we sort of were assigned roles, or, like, we also had a little bit of choice in the roles. Mm-hmm. And we were both project manager for the project, and it was a little bit difficult because, like, we couldn't see our group, and it was also just purely based on online communication, like on messaging or video calls, and we also pretty much didn't do that many video calls, so it was just messaging.
And also the responsibility of project manager was like kind of to lead the group, and that also meant that we had to like make sure people were working, which was a challenge, to say the least. Yeah. In my group, so there was this one kid who just pretty much ghosted us from the very start.
Oh, wow.
They didn't really talk to us at all, really. Maybe like once or twice. And then they were on one video call but never said anything during the entire call. And I'm not entirely sure what exactly was going on with them. I think that there was probably something going on, but I'm not clear on that, so I'm not going to comment that much on it. But I'm just saying as an example of someone who just, I guess, because of the situation, wasn't really able to contribute as much as what, I guess, what they normally would have done. And generally, we would meet every single day in school, and then we'd be able to work, but since we couldn't, so basically, as project manager, I pretty much just forced everyone in my group, including myself, to go on video calls, like, pretty regularly, simply because, like, none of us would do anything otherwise, and so if we were on video calls, we would just be, like, forced to work, and so that's how I was able to, like, maintain some form of communication with my group. We were able to, like, evenly distribute our work on, like, Adeline's group.
Oh, you guys definitely did the communication part and, like, teamwork part better than us. I feel like for... Because the project lasted pretty long. It was, like, I guess it was around a month.
Yeah.
I think there was definitely, like, 1 week increments where sometimes we just... Or, like, a couple of days where we just... No one talked to anyone. And then a lot of the time we would be doing stuff, like, the day it was due or stuff like that.
I tried my best to make sure that my group knew that if they had anything going on that they could just tell me. Also, my group was, like, friends. Like, I was lucky to be put in a group with two of my pretty close friends. So I think that's also what made me more comfortable of being like, if you don't do this thing, then I'm going to totally show up to your house and, like, the next time I see you, I'm going to yell at you or something like that. Because, like, we're friends and, like, we could talk like that and I feel comfortable. But I guess, like, your group, you had a bunch of people that you weren't very close with.
Yeah.
So I think if I were in your group, I would have been in the exact same situation.
Yeah. Also, I probably wasn't clear enough about what each person had to do, or also maybe, like, felt bad about telling people to do work. But I definitely learned about a little bit about being a manager or, like, being in a leader position from this.
And also, this project kind of ran through our AP season, which also explains why communication was difficult, because most people were studying for APs, which will lead us into our next topic of the day, which is our thoughts on the APs. If you're not from the US or anywhere that takes APs, I think this might be a good place for us to really explain what it even is.
So in the US, basically College Board has, like, a monopoly on everything college application.
And we know for a fact that it's a monopoly because in their AP economic class curriculum, that's what a monopoly is.
So one of their franchises, or I don't even know, is Advanced Placement, and
one of their money-making machines. Okay, so these classes are basically available for high school students. Well, not even all high school students. It totally depends on the school you go to. But if your school offers it, it's generally a good thing to do because you can get college credits with it. And if you go to a college which accepts the certain credits that you got, then you don't have to take those classes again in college, and you can save on tuition in the long run. But there is a massive catch. You have to go to a school that accepts the credits that you got. Not all schools accept it, and you have to get a high score, which you're not even guaranteed to get. And you also have to be able to pay the fee of the test, which is actually quite expensive. It's like 80 something for a
purpose. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like 90.
Pretty much close to 90. And if you really think about it, most students, well, if you're able to, you might be taking a lot of AP courses, which, say you take an average of 4 per year, then that's 16 times 90. It's 1,440. That's a lot and a lot of effort. And it's really hard. And so that's basically just what the APs are in general, just so we can explain it for anyone who doesn't know. And there was, like, this really, I think, kind of funny theory, this conspiracy theory. It is definitely not true, but I think as a student who feels very wronged by College Board, I think it's a theory that I love to think about. This year, we had to pay the fee for the test much earlier than normal, and if we had paid it at the normal due date, then we would have known about the virus by that date, and most people wouldn't have paid the fee, if that makes any sense. And so there was, like, one of our teachers was like, oh, what if College Board was the one who created the pandemic to get more money?
Oh, dear.
Because none of us were refunded on any of their costs, despite College Board switching to an online test, which was much cheaper. And they also did not have to fly out the test scores to any, like, certain place. So they saved a lot of money this year, yet they still charged the same amount. And so the conspiracy theory is that College Board started this pandemic to get more money. Which, the disclaimer, guys, is this is not this all.
Yeah, for true. Legal reasons.
But, yes. But as students, this is something that we think about a lot.
And also, like, this year, the tests were also not only online, but also, like, shorter. So the fee this year wasn't proportional to the length or like the amount of content in the test compared to previous years. So sometime before College Board decided to still hold the APs, they sort of sent out a survey to potential test takers, and they said somewhere that, like, I think 90% or around 90% said they wanted to take it. And when we heard about this, we were all like, wait, how do they decide who to send it to? Like, out of the people we knew, I'm pretty sure, like, one or two people received it. And, like, it's just...
Wait, how did they receive it?
I think it was by email, right?
That's interesting, because if you had taken the AP NSL course, you would have known that you can't just email people and then base your survey off of that, because not all students have an email, not all students check their email, not all students will respond to that email. So there is a really off bias with that. And you could, like, assume that most of the people who were doing okay with the online test were people who already had internet, had a computer, and stuff like that. And people who couldn't really do so well were people who didn't have that, which would have probably been addressed if they hadn't just emailed people, because those who did okay are probably people with emails and who are able to check their emails regularly enough.
So it was definitely a super voluntary, super biased sample for the survey. So we also heard that some parents filed a class action lawsuit against College Board because they thought the kids who were going to be taking the APs didn't have a fair testing experience. So they allegedly didn't offer any acceptable remedies to students who lacked resources. And they argued that College Board is supposed to be a nonprofit and working for the students, but not against them. So there were serious concerns that the APs wouldn't be fair to people who didn't have access to the internet or computers or had quiet workspaces at home. And College Board allegedly acknowledged these issues existed, but didn't change their policies to address them.
We're taking this directly from the lawsuit itself.
Yep, and the lawsuit is available online if you guys want to take a look. So next we're going to talk about the APs themselves and how they went for us.
For an AP that I took, so there were like a total of probably like 4 or 5 questions, and the whole thing was just based on one essay question. And like, we all knew which ones were the ones that were easier or like more covered in the curriculum. So the people that got the question that was maybe more obscure, like for your AP, or just very badly worded or something like that, then it would just lower their whole score.
Yeah. And apparently it's supposed to reflect our knowledge of the entire subject. It's ridiculous. I don't even know.
So the virus not only affected our school situation, it also affected our summer plans. So I know for one, both of us registered for a concert tour in Europe by our youth orchestra.
Yeah, we were supposed to go to Europe. I'm so sad about that.
Same.
You know, we could have been in Europe together, rooming together, and I could have just woken up in the middle of the night and just, like, bothered you then. That would have been so fun.
I'm scared that that's what you're excited about, but okay.
Like, I had all of these plans that we could go, like, shopping together, and then, like, we'd be up in the middle of the night just doing whatever in a hotel in the middle of, like, were we supposed to go, like, Austria or something?
Yeah, Salzburg, Vienna. Austria. Yeah.
Just, like, in the middle of Austria, in the middle of the night. It would've been so fun, just enjoying our own lives, you know? It would've been so nice. I was also planning on participating in this other competition in China. Like, I did it last year. It was, like, this leadership convention thingy, and I had so much fun there. And I wanted to do it super badly, and it takes place in China, and we were supposed to travel to China.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about it last year.
Yeah, I was so excited because, like, we were planning on doing it again, and then And after the convention, we were planning on traveling elsewhere in China, and I was hoping to, like, visit my family, things like that, and then eat more good food, you know?
For me, I got into this violin camp that I really wanted to go to, and then it ended up being switched to online because of the virus, and we just didn't go because they only deducted the room and board fee from the fee in general, so it was just the fee without room and board, but it would just be online.
It's, like, honestly so disappointing that we had to cancel so much stuff, but unlike some other people, we weren't screaming and crying because, like, we understand that, you know, sometimes things change and you just have to go with it. That's what life is called, okay?
So we're lucky that this was what we were worried about instead of more serious or pressing issues like some other people had to go through.
Instead of doing the things that we were planning on doing, instead, we just stayed home. I mean, I still enjoyed my summer despite not being able to travel. Also because we weren't super worried about other, as you say, like, more pressing issues that, like, we're lucky to still be able to have, a roof over our head. We're still able to get food. And so, you know, I was able to do other things. For example, honestly, just, like, sleeping in and getting rest. Also exercising, and I started to learn how to cook. So I've been cooking a lot. And now I know how to make a lot of foods that I really like. And so I guess, like, I've been enjoying myself quite a lot, actually. And just making the best out of the situation that we're in.
For me, I sort of participated in stuff that I probably wouldn't have done if there wasn't the pandemic. So I did some volunteering for a camp that my robotics team hosted. And also joined some organizations.
Yeah, you made me join a lot of them too.
So quarantine also gave me time to take a break and reflect on myself and focus on my mental health.
And since we've also had, like, just a lot more time on our hands than we otherwise would have, we're starting a business together, which is something that we wouldn't have done if quarantine had not happened, which I think that just trying to find the light in the darkness is very important.
Yeah, and also this podcast.
Yeah, would not have happened at all if it weren't for quarantine. And we also wanted to talk about kind of how other places are doing in comparison to the US at the moment, because our cases, are they still rising? I don't know. I think that they're still quite high, actually, and things just have not been going well. It's been many months now, and neither of us feel entirely safe going outside still, unlike in some other places.
Yeah, and I saw probably a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago, the CDC saying that if everyone wore masks and distanced, then the virus would be greatly improved in, like, 1 or 2 months. But not everyone is doing that. I also saw on New York Times recently that life in Wuhan is starting to go back to normal. So they're having pool parties and going to the movie theater and just generally having a pretty normal summer. And the rest of the world would just see them and be like, wait, what are they doing? We're not supposed to be partying.
I guess, like, I think it's mainly people in the US who are thinking that because we're like, oh my god, like, the virus isn't over. But, like, in reality, I think that in most other countries, at least from what I'm seeing, they're allowed to go back outside now. Like, masks are optional for them now. They don't have to do all of this stuff anymore now.
So while the US is still in recession, what they're doing in China sort of made them an outlier in the global economy, according to the New York Times.
And I also think that, I guess, like, from what I have seen from comments of people in the US, is that, like, they're upset that how come Wuhan can go back to normal when they're the ones who started this. And I think that it's also important to, like, note that they actually did what they were supposed to do. We still haven't. And so that's why we can't go back to pool parties and things like that. Just kind of sad.
Yeah, so as a result of them doing what they're supposed to do, their local transmissions are basically near zero now.
Today, actually, I went to a friend's house. Well, we didn't go into their house. We were, like, in their yard. And we were all wearing masks, doing what we were supposed to do. but I passed this house in their neighborhood when we were driving there. There was like literally the entire street was lined with cars for this one house because they were having this massive party. No one was wearing masks. And I was like, you know, technically right now we're totally allowed to go and hang out with friends, but by wearing masks and social distancing and taking necessary precautions. But those people, they weren't even bothering. They weren't even trying to be discreet at all. They were literally just standing there in the middle of the road next to each other. And the thing is that I actually knew them, and I knew who these people were.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, I literally cannot believe that I know anyone like you. And like, it makes, I think that through this whole entire pandemic, it has made me look at certain people like very differently, because I'm like, I literally cannot believe why you can't just stay home. And because like, I knew these people personally, so I knew that they all had nice houses. They all had a nice income. They all are living good lives. They have no excuse of going outside, which I guess makes me feel really angry inside, knowing that they are causing more issues within our community and that they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, and we've also seen on social media that like so many people are meeting up and doing things that they're normally doing over like any normal summer.
Yeah, I've also heard like some of our classmates' older siblings who are all in college are partying and hanging out with friends, and every other day is a new party that they're going to, which I think it's so odd because like they're older than us and still don't know better. And it's so weird. Like, I don't, like, they're in college. I don't understand how you wouldn't know this if you got into college. It's really mind-boggling, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And as a result of people doing that in college, a lot of the colleges that opened up sort of just had to close down after like a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah, like we mentioned earlier with Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's a thing with other colleges. I just have not had the heart to look into it because it just makes me feel kind of upset.
So as we talked about before, right now it's the Sunday before school is starting. So we're going to have our first day of school tomorrow on August 31st. So what do you think school is going to be like this semester? Because it's all online.
I don't know if we're actually going to be able to learn anything.
Honestly, same.
Well, maybe we might. I don't know. Like, I hope that we do. But based on our orientation the other day, I don't know. Like, I know that all of our teachers are really trying their best. Like,
Definitely.
They're trying to understand us and sympathize with us. And, like, they're really trying their hardest. But I feel like they've also been put in a very tough situation because, like, the other day, I think one of our teachers, well, almost all of my teachers had no idea how to use Zoom. And, like, one of our teachers, we literally had to, like, teach him how to use Zoom. And it's not even his fault. Like, he shouldn't even be in this position at all. And I don't know, I guess our county never taught the teachers how to use Zoom, which is, like, I can't believe you didn't teach them. Like, hello.
Yeah.
They're not born knowing everything. They need help, too.
Yeah, and online school, like, poses a lot of challenges for people on all sides of the situation, like students, parents, and teachers. So, this semester is definitely going to be different than last semester, which was, like, when the pandemic first started. I feel like it's going to be a little bit more structured, and also teachers are more prepared and have more training, and everyone hopefully knows what's going on.
Hopefully. Hopefully we can get through this. So, I guess this will conclude for today. If you guys have any suggestions for us, or any questions or comments, you can go to our Instagram and Twitter at xyxzpod, or you can send an email to our business email at xyxzpod@yahoo.com. Or, if you're listening to this on Himalaya, you can leave a comment down below.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
This episode of Fishy Piggy was written and produced by us, Adeline New and Diana Zhu. Our theme music is by Loyalty Freak Music. Special thanks to Ari Sang for helping us come up with this week's topic and for her support in the creation of this podcast. And thank you to listeners like you. Next time we will discuss what our first week of school was like. See you in 2 weeks. You won't want to miss it.